Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. That's Maestro James Levine conducting the overture to Wagner's The Flying Dutchman. Except it's not the Boston Symphony Orchestra you're hearing, it's the Met Orchestra in New York. The podium Levine will be keeping, even after yesterday's announcement that the maestro will be stepping down as music director of the BSO.
BSO Managing Director Mark Volpe says Levine's departure wasn't a surprise. The conductor has been plagued by injury and illness for some time. But classical music lovers still feel the loss.
People are sad. You know, those first two or three years were incredible, and then he started, you know, one after another after another.
After another, canceling performances, that is. But now the BSO has possibly a bigger challenge, finding a new maestro. Joining us now with more is Boston Globe's arts reporter, Jeff Edgers. Hi there, Jeff.
Hi there. How you doing?
I'm doing great. You wrote today's front page article in the Globe about Levine stepping down from the BSO. And after yesterday's announcement, he actually spoke to the Globe. So how is James Levine sort of processing his departure from Symphony Hall?
The amazing thing about James Levine is if you talk to him, he sounds like he's going to be fine. Every time he gets hurt, and he's been hurt a lot, he will talk to you as if he's just, you know, going to go through this recuperative period and, you know, I'm going to get back up there and do my job. And, you know, he didn't, he wasn't, you know, incredibly depressed or, oh, I can't believe it finally came to that. I mean, he sounded upset and disappointed, but, you know, he didn't sound like he had just, you know, stepped down from one of the best jobs in the orchestra world.
You quote him as saying that when he was looking at players in the orchestra during a recent rehearsal, he said, somehow I could tell the orchestra when they looked at me, they weren't seeing what they need. So it's like he's couching his departure as something that's supposed to benefit the BSO.
Well, you know, these players loved playing for Levine. But they've been, you know, downright fearful of his health. I mean, if you've watched him physically, just walking, you know, I'll see him sometimes in rehearsals at Symphony Hall when he goes into the sit down in a chair. He does not look like a well man. I mean, he's grossly overweight. He's have these chronic health problems. And I think this orchestra's, you know, the players have been thinking more about his health than what they're supposed to be doing on stage.
So it was a distraction. I mean, so Jeff, help me understand here. For people who aren't, you know, season ticket holders or subscribers to the BSO, why is Levine leaving such a loss for Boston?
Well, it's very hard to describe. It's very hard for me to understand. It's almost beyond words. When he leads the orchestra, and when a great conductor leads an orchestra, there's no way to describe why the orchestra sounds a certain way, why the hall feels electric, and why things are different. But they are different when Levine is there. And it's amazing they are because he is such a physically laid-back individual. He doesn't dance around or throw his arms around, especially now with the injuries. But that orchestra, you know, people feel sounds unbelievable when he's there, and it feels like you're at an event. That's what we're losing.
So his spirit, really, which brought Symphony Hall to life, is the thing that people are mourning the loss of, I guess. But now, looking forward, the Boston Symphony Orchestra has a big challenge, and that's finding a new music director. Any names being tossed around already?
Well, a lot of names are being tossed around, but let's just be clear. This is really an emergency situation. When Levine took over last time, it was all handled behind closed doors. Seiji Ozawa was actually still, you know, the music director when Levine was announced. It was totally smooth. This is not the way they wanted it to go down. I know they had started talking about Levine stepping down in some way, but, you know, there are a lot of names out there. Some of these folks, you know, are going to be too old for the position. Bernard Haitink. Some of these folks, we don't know if they're old enough. You know, Bob Spano in Atlanta. There was talk about David Robertson in St. Louis. You know, these are just names, though. The point is, these folks in the orchestra, they need to establish a relationship with whoever is going to be their next music director, and they don't really have a relationship with anyone right now that would be a candidate. It's hard to tell what's going to happen.
Interesting. So, but what's going to happen then in the interim and an indeterminate period of time? I mean, could there be a possibility that James Levine would substitute for himself?
Well, I mean, it's a great idea, isn't it? You know, hey, this would be a good substitute, you know? I think that there is a possibility that if he is well and he gets better, he'll be back on the podium in Boston after, you know, he steps down officially in September.
They're considering that?
I think they'd love to have him. You know, he talked about it in you know, yesterday he talked about, you know, I want to get better and I'll be back on the podium. And he's certainly going to try to do that at the Met. You know, they could also look to somebody like Hightink as a principal guest conductor. They need somebody there. I mean, they definitely do. Having a rotating set of guest conductors for several years is not what the orchestra wants.
Okay, so last question about Levine. I read in your article, you quoted one of the players as saying that when they originally got him at the BSO, it was like getting Babe Ruth to come and play. But we know what happened to Babe Ruth and then his relationship to the Red Sox. And now James Levine is leaving the BSO, but he's staying on at the New York Met. So what is this telling you?
Well, you know, there are all sorts of justifications. I mean, he said yesterday, look, the Met isn't as demanding physically as running the BSO. You know, there are fewer rehearsals, they're more spread out, et cetera, et cetera. But the fact is, he chose New York over Boston, and we don't like that, do we? It's wrong.
It does feel kind of wrong, I have to say.
He's been there for 40 years, though. He lives in New York. He stayed in a hotel here, basically. You know, it's not surprising that he chose the Met, but it still hurts.
In the BSO's defense, it's not a small, you know, orchestra in the middle of nowhere. It's the Boston Symphony Orchestra.
Well, people would say that the BSO in many ways is a more significant organization than the Met. I would, because we're here.
Well, we've got time for just one quick pick of other possible things to do this weekend, as we usually try to get you to do. So what's your one pick for weekend arts and culture activities?
Well, you know, if I'm going to pick one thing, I'd say Ralph Stanley, who is like the mountain music granddaddy genius. You may have remembered O Death from the Coen Brothers movie, O Brother, Where Art Thou? He's playing at the Narrows Center for the Arts in Fall River, and it's like seeing James Brown, except in the mountain music world.
Wow, he's the hardest working man in mountain music business.
No dancing, but lots of banjo.
Jeff Edgers with the Boston Globe, the arts reporter, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Well, when we come back, that's a huge parsnip.
That's a huge, huge parsnip.
Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
This is Radio Boston.